News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning, Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5 at 8.06. On Mobile Mornings on this Monday, little rain out there, not much, not like the pouring we had. Just what, 8 inches in Orange Beach?
Yeah, yeah. We were coming back on 10 early afternoon, and basically from Eglin all the way over to basically the Malbus exit, some of the strongest rain I've driven through. It's been years since I've driven through some rain that strong.
It's a lot of pressure. You got the little kids in the car, and you're thinking to yourself, things can go wrong real quick.
Yeah, but made it through all right, and I did not expect Dr. Bill this morning to say that Foley got 6 inches and the beach got eight inches. Yeah, well, we got a third of an inch out at Mobile Regional, but more rain on the way today, and yeah, accidents popping up all around the area. We'll try to keep you updated on that throughout the rest of our morning with you. 251-343-0106, and plenty to discuss. And of course, you have the government shutdown. We're not going to dive too much into that because it doesn't seem like there's much to dive into,
no,
really.
There's no movement, really. It's just a political back and forth. And for those, you know, and how many of us are actually being affected by it right now? Not many, I guess, but for those who are, it's a real deal, and it's a pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm, it is. But for me, the real story of this weekend was political violence escalated, and the temperature has really, it just keeps rising. It continued to rise over the weekend. And I'm thinking on two fronts here. You've got what's going on in the streets, specifically right now, Chicago and Portland, and the courts getting involved in both of those. But also some really, really, I'd like to say, strange rulings from judges in criminal cases, but I don't think strange really does a great job of describing what it feels like is going on here, which is, I think it's almost, well, like these activist judges are participating in this political war by letting violent criminals out on the streets.
Well, there's two cases that I know you wanted to highlight. Mm-hmm. One is the case of, it was Kavanaugh, right? That the man, yeah, he was outside of Kavanaugh's house. It's probably like midnight at night.
There was a protest going on, right? Outside of Kavanaugh's house, I believe.
He was on the phone with his sister, I believe. And his sister is the one that convinced him not to do it, mm-hmm, and maybe even called authorities on him.
Yeah.
So he was on the phone with his sister saying, here's my plan. And so she did two things, I believe. Is she talked him out of the violence, and she also led to his arrest with a call to authorities.
But he ends up on Friday only being sentenced by a Maryland federal judge to 8 years for this attempted assassination of a Supreme Court justice. And that certainly wasn't the minimum that was called for a crime like that. Attorney General Pam Bondi vowed that the DOJ will appeal what she called the woefully insufficient sentence. Quote, the attempted assassination of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh was a disgusting attack on our entire judicial system by a profoundly disturbed individual. Said that the sentence does not reflect the horrific facts of this case. Maryland U.S. District Judge Deborah Boardman, an appointee of Biden's, gave attempted assassin Nicholas Roski, who came out after being saying that Roski said he was transitioning to a female named Sophie, and I believe that news came after the arrest, right? But yeah, just an 8-year sentence and a lifetime of supervised release. DOJ prosecutors were seeking a prison term of 30 years to life. He showed up on that June day in 2022 in a taxi outside of Kavanaugh's house there in Maryland, had a Glock 17 pistol, ammunition, a tactical light, zip ties, pepper spray, burglary tools. He spotted deputy U.S. Marshals once he exited the taxi and kept walking down the street before dialing 911, reporting having suicidal and homicidal thoughts. Federal investigators said the 29-year-old planned to kill the justice after the Supreme Court's draft decision in Dobbs v. Jackson's women's health was leaked months before by Politico. By the way, where are we on that leak investigation that put those justices' lives in danger?
Amazingly, nowhere.
Roski confessed later, the thought of Roe v. Wade and gay marriage both being repealed has me furious. The defendant prosecutors in their sentencing memo wrote, the defendant's actions and intent were extremely dangerous to the lives of multiple sitting judges, their family members, and the constitutional judicial order. But the judge in this case just wrote out this entire memo of her own, citing...
Sympathizing with the shooter.
Sympathizing
Well, of course, he didn't shoot, but...
Well, yeah. Boardman expressed sympathy in the sentencing hearing for Roski as a, quote, transgender woman asking to receive hormone therapy and being, quote, assigned to a facility according to the gender of their birth due to one of Trump's executive orders. Just absolutely insane. But for me, the maddening story this weekend was about a six-year-old who was stabbed to death. This was back in, let me see if I can find it here. So this was in Kentucky, and six-year-old Logan Tipton was the young child who was stabbed to death here, and the killer has been released on parole after serving only half his sentence. And that has led to the slain child's father in court and in media issuing threats to the man who is being freed early. 42-year-old Ronald Exantis stabbed the entire Tipton family as they slept in their Versailles, Kentucky home back on December 7th of 2015, but focused most of his rage on little Logan, who he stabbed repeatedly in the head with a kitchen knife.
God.
When Logan's father, Dean Tipton, confronted the knife-wielding intruder, the dad was stabbed and then thrown 10 to 15 feet. One of his daughters, Dakota, described the incident, quote, he stabbed me in the back and then stomped on my head. And I remember waking up across the room, not where I was at, and I looked at, and he was killing Logan, and Logan was screaming. Exantis was sentenced to only 20 years in 2018. They found him not guilty for murder of the six-year-old by reason of insanity, but did find him guilty of assault charges for the same crimes on the family. He was released on parole on the first of this month after serving just 8 years due to good behavior and education credits. His parole was set to end June of next year. And so the dad expressed outrage over the release and vowed to avenge his son's killing if he ever sees the man again. Quote, he told Dakota that he was going to kill every one of us, so now I've got to be on extra guard to protect my kids because I will not lose another one. I've had my talks with God because I'm not afraid to tell you all. I told the court, if I ever cross paths with him, I will kill the man. I will kill him where he stands.
I don't understand a crime that violent would almost have to be committed by someone who was out of their mind. Okay, so he's insane, but now to look over his time in prison and
give him good behavior.
Give him a good scoring grade while he was incarcerated, like all's well that ends well. I mean, that guy, he could easily do all of that all over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just unthinkable what he did. And the terror to that one family alone, the fact that they're going to have to live knowing that this guy's on the street. Now, I don't know, I don't know where he is in relation to the family, where he's living or all that, but I don't know if it really matters, just knowing that he's out free.
Yeah.
And what he did, I don't understand that at all.
And think of what that dad and other family members, how they feel. I mean, I would hope that I would be saying the same things he's saying right now if this happened
sure.
to someone that killed one of my children.
Oh.
And that's when the justice system doesn't take care of business, other people will. And that's what we're headed towards here is mob justice, vigilante justice.
Gets ugly.
It does. But in this case, it's vigilante justice that you can totally understand, right? If they're going to let this man out, and apparently they have. But along with all of that, you have this story about this Virginia Attorney General nominee that came out this weekend. And with all of the talk of violence and political tensions as high as they've been in some time, for no Democrats to disavow this man, Jay Jones, with texts that have been posted between he and Republican delegate member Kerry Coyner of Virginia, where he's fantasizing and talking about shooting
his opponent.
Well, then Republican State House Speaker Todd Gilbert, and he talks about putting bullets in his head. Virginia Beach Democrats insist that Jones will serve with, quote, integrity and accountability And gubernatorial nominee Abigail Spanberger has refused to disavow him, despite these text messages being released where Jones fantasized about then-House Speaker Gilbert getting, quote, two bullets to the head and called his young children little fascists. Here's the statement from Virginia Beach Democrats after these texts were released this weekend. Quote, recent press may have spotlighted past mistakes. We say, let those without sin cast the first stone.
Wow.
Here's some of the texts. So you have this House member, Republican House delegate, and Carrie Coyner saying to Jay Jones in this private text message thread. And this was from back in 2022. She says, they say nice things about everyone, LOL. He's talking about the Republicans, I believe, in the House there, the State House. He said, if those guys die before me, I will go to their funerals to piss on their graves. Send them out a wash and something. She responds, Jay Jones, like saying his name, like, yeah, that's out of line.
Right.
He says, three people, two bullets. Gilbert, Hitler, and Pol Pot. Gilbert gets two bullets to the head. He said, spoiler, put Gilbert in the crew with the two worst people you know, and he receives both bullets every time. She says, Jay, please stop. He says, okay, okay. But he continues to go on and talk about the man's children, calling them little fascists and saying, you know, just some of the most despicable things.
How does this guy even show up in public again?
Because he's...
Not being punished in any way by Democrats or nothing, none of that being disavowed.
That's how he shows up in public, because he's being emboldened by not just Virginia Democrats, but national Democrats who aren't stepping in and saying something like this is way out of line. And can you imagine if he wins, if someone who posted those things, basically calling for the murder of the opposite party in his state, and specifically the then House Speaker, but if he goes on to win without anyone disavowing him on his side, that's basically
saying...
That's
a win for evil.
Yeah. That's basically saying, hey, we're fine with what he had to say.
So tell me again, what he's running for a House seat?
Well, he's running for Attorney General now.
Attorney
General. Yeah. And he was in the House for several years. Let's see. This was...
There is no way this guy can be elected Attorney General.
But it's not
top
even...
top lawman of the state.
Yeah. And you would
so
think
so. This is a statewide election, obviously. I thought it was more of a local... congressional seat or something like that. He was in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
In
the state Congress, yeah. It's so he's running for AG now. More of that release from the Virginia Democrats. Quote, Jay Jones has taken responsibility, apologized, and shown he's committed to serving with integrity and accountability that his public record already shows. Virginians deserve a leader who learns, grows, and stands for everyday people.
Wow.
And Jay is that leader.
So they're using his texts as an example of his growth.
Yeah.
That's Mondani the other day, mm-hmm, when he was on The View, he was grilled a little bit about some of his statements in the past, mm-hmm, about Israel, about policing, about a lot of things that people have problems with. And he spun it around and said, yeah, I've grown since 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the same man. And I think that you would want to elect somebody who learns from their mistakes and grows. It sounds like it's kind of a statement out of a playbook when you make the mistake to say, hey, I've shown great growth since that moment.
You don't disavow what you've said.
No.
You just say, hey, I may or may not still think the same way, but it would show great growth if I don't, right? Just absolutely insane.
That's incredible.
251-343-0106. We'll get to some texts here on the other side, plus some of you putting out some of the excuses you say have actually worked when you've gotten pulled over by police officers.
I think if you're in the car with a woman who's obviously pregnant.
That seems to be the main one.
That should work.
Yeah, yeah. And Leanna mentioned as much to us that she was pulled over like that. So we'll get into some of those. And also, I know some people asking about the Hey Hira Honeybee Festival.
Yeah, I'm asking about it.
A little bit more about my weekend, so we'll get to that on the way, too.
Sounds good. You know, last week I was invited to find out more about a real estate company over in Daphne. I went over there with Celeste, and I found out it's more than that. It's called Chasen Homes, and their owner, it's a great guy, Chasen Wachter. And he's got over 30 years of experience as a licensed realtor. And for the past 20 years, he has built many of the most beautiful homes on the Eastern Shore. So Chasen's business model is very unique because he's got a construction division. So if you're looking to maybe sell a property that may be aging, he's got the resources to help you either repair or remodel so you can get top dollar. Maybe you've got, for instance, maybe an aging parent living in a home and you've all decided and agreed, look, it's time to sell. So you might feel burdened by the situation, but Chasen, actually, he's got the answers. That's what I think is very interesting about him. Really a good guy. He and his staff, I would say that they are very dependable. I really like meeting him. Trustworthy guy, professional. Check him out. You'll see. I've been around real estate long time. I've never seen a company quite like this. I love them. Call Chasen at 251-379-4444. That's Chasen at 379-4444. Also, you can go to chasenhomes.com. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 826. More on the fabulous side trip to Hayhira, Georgia by Dalton and his family for the Honeybee Festival.
Hayhira Honeybee Festival.
So I checked it out online. You were there Saturday. That was the wrap-up. That thing started on Monday.
Yeah.
With a number of events.
Mm-hmm.
So
a fish fry. They were doing it all week.
Yeah.
The Hayhira. And many of you pointing out Ray Stevens talking about the Shriners Convention, the Hayhira delegation.
Yeah, he had two funny songs about southern towns. One was
at least
Pascagoula. Right. But the ones I remember, Pascagoula, where the squirrel or something ran up the preacher's leg.
Went berserk.
Yeah. And then Hayhira.
Yeah, too good. We'll maybe get into that later on in the hour. Let's get to some texts. This texter says, the Battle of the Belt belongs in Troy. Yeah, yeah.
It does.
A overtime win for the Trojans. A tough, tough start to a year that was supposed to be promising for the Jags. Now, 1-5. Going to have to basically win out in order to get to a bowl game this year. That's not great. Let's see. Philip says Williamson 365, their opponent's 14 so far this season. And as far as, you know, getting pulled over, said that one guy in Florida that got pulled over going over 100, said he was late for his barber appointment, and that didn't get him out of the ticket. He actually went to jail.
I think reading that story, it kind of ticked the cop off even more. Like, it was the worst possible excuse he could give as far as law enforcement was concerned, because evidently this guy was not just driving fast. He was driving recklessly.
Yeah, weaving in and out.
And that's all to get your hair cut?
I get that was his excuse. Philip, and I asked, you know, have you had any excuses that have worked? Philip says, not an excuse, but I got pulled over in Grove Hill one night, headed to the hunting camp. He let me go because he had just given my dad a ticket about an hour earlier and recognized the last name.
Wow.
Mind you, this was right after my dad bragged about never getting a ticket and telling me I need to slow down.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
Greg says, my father, not me, got pulled over when my stepmother was actually in labor. And when the cop came up and he told him what was happening, he ran back to the patrol car, turned on the lights, and escorted them to the hospital. True story, straight out of a movie. Texter here says, hey, whatever happened to the I-10 bridge project? What's the bridge's lifespan? Well, the new bridge that hasn't been built, I would hope its lifespan takes us at least to the year 3000. But, they were doing some testing the depth of whatever. They haven't gotten very far, I guess, is the main thing there.
You know, remember there was the talk that in Robertsdale was kind of a speed trap there on 59.
Mm-hmm.
You would go pretty much unabated, but in Robertsdale you would drop from like maybe it's 50 miles an hour suddenly to 35, something like that, where you can get.
Yeah, quick small town drop in the speed limit. Yeah.
So I spoke one time at an Optimist Club, some kind of luncheon at Robertsdale, and the whole thing was lovely. The food was great. But I think one of the first things I did was I knew the mayor was there, and I said, hey, bro, you owe me some money because you were operating. I mean, y'all knew what was going on, right? And everybody just kind of, they just.
Well, how about Keith's text here? He says, when I was a police officer, I stopped a young lady for speeding. She said when the guitar solo for Freebird came on, she couldn't help herself. Sounded like a good enough excuse for me.
Oh, you're soft, bro. You're soft on crime, man.
When Freebird's on.
Yeah, that's
solo.
Enough.
Yeah. That's a good enough excuse.
Got a guest on the way. Going to talk some football?
Yeah, quick talk with Drew Fabianich on the way, the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. We'll get into that, plus a lot more of what you have to say and some more news rounding up right here on Mobile Mornings after the news coming up. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. It's a Monday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, Monday. How are you?
We are doing just fine, and another busy week on the way for McConnell. And before we get into the vehicles, both pre-owned and new, that you have available, a lot of accidents out there this morning and some rain this weekend causing some accidents. I just want to remind folks, McConnell Automotive has a great body shop, and you do some great service work over there as well.
That's right. All the guys and the girls back there at the body shop take care of all your insurance needs, and your try to loan you up, fix you up with a loaner car, and they take care of you back there. See Rachel and all those people back there. The service department's going great, man. They got, you know, during the hot days, they got air conditioned back there. Any techs looking for a job or something, we're hiring stuff, hiring people every day. And on the front end of this stuff, man, we got a great selection of pre-owned. I'm sitting here looking at it. We got more trucks than I've ever seen on this lot as far as used is concerned. You've got to check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. New stuff, we're getting cars in every day. If you don't see anything you like on the website, just give us a call. We'll give you, let you know what we got coming in. If you're looking for a AT4 Yukon or a Denali Yukon, we've got them. We've got a bunch of three-quarter tons coming in. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be set up. We got a nice little gray 22 Corvette if you want to really get going, and it is beautiful. I'm sitting here looking at it right now, and it is just absolutely beautiful. So just come by and see us.
All right. Sounds like a plan, Louie. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Raddick. You'll find him, McConnell Automotive. They're located on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And that website he was mentioning there, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So it's oh, I'm sorry. It is legit that the Chicago police made a decision not to aid the ICE officers who were boxed in by protesters.
Mm, that's
and there was even a shooting there, and they shot the woman who was shot at them.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in the hospital. The story's kind of going back. It's gone back and forth a little bit during the weekend as I was reading it. But it looks like there were some members of the Chicago Police Department that are saying that they're just irate over this whole thing, that they are led by cowards and being forced to act like cowards. And so in any event, the story was the ICE
patrol. It was an ambush.
They were ambushed, and that's not the first time we've heard that, and shot at, so forth and so on. And the Chicago police, in some sort of a correspondence, said, no, do not assist. They were told not to assist by somebody over them.
Yeah, the police department there. Yeah. And it's getting wild there. And then also in Portland, of course, that continues to escalate.
With the judge ruling against Trump.
Yeah.
And Gavin Newsom celebrating that. It's weird.
Yeah, trying to take him to court. We'll try to get into that on the way. 251-343-0106. But it is a Monday. It's time to check in with the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. That is Drew Fabianich. He joins us. Hey, good morning, Drew.
Morning, guys. How y'all?
We're good.
Good. And what a weekend of games. You had a couple of teams really taking care of business. Specifically, I'm thinking about Alabama and tied at the half with Vandy, and then just put the pedal down in that second half and really drew the line. Both the offensive and defensive line for Alabama really starting to show out. And when you play a team like Vanderbilt, they needed to be there.
First of all, would you ever thought you would have said that about Vanderbilt like 2 years ago?
No, amazing.
Yeah, it was impressive. But Bama, a much-needed win. I called for the outright Vandy upset. Now, I am looking insane on Monday morning, just like I predicted.
But he wasn't looking insane at halftime.
No.
14-14.
I'll tell you what. I think when you notice like the last like 8 minutes of the game, that the offensive line took over the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were done. And you could tell they were done. You could tell they were worn out because, you know, big bodies pushing on smaller bodies. I mean, that long. I mean, you get worn down. It's just like when we used to run Marion Barber to, you know, at the back end of games to finish games. I mean, people wanted no part of that.
That's right. Yeah.
The physical toll that it takes on you, I mean, as a defense, you almost tap out. I mean, they did a great job. I mean, they played really well. Vandy did. But again, like you said, both fronts took over the game. And that's where you win ball games, always.
It sure is,
especially when you have a disparity in weight. You have a disparity in depth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to show up eventually, and it did in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, it did.
Your offensive player of the week for the Panini Senior Bowl this week, man we know well. We've been watching him play for years, Carson Beck. Now with the Miami Hurricanes, and I think even though the score ended up being, I mean, a one-score game, 28-22, Miami really looked in control, and such a big part of that is having a senior leader like Beck just kind of running that offense and making sure it gets done.
I think they're in control of the entire game, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. You know, and again, I think it goes back to just what we talked about with Alabama. I think Miami's offensive line, and I think their defensive line is best in the country across the board. I mean, their first four, are fire breathers. And, you know, again, having Carson back there and guys are making plays for him. I mean, you know, there's a lot of yak yardage that, you know, you see. He's getting guys the ball on time, getting them in stride, letting them do their work. And, you know, in fact, Malachi Toney, I mean, he's real. I mean, he's special.
Yeah.
And their other guys are making plays for him, too. Plus, they're running the ball well with Fletcher. So, I mean, again, pretty complete effort. But I think what makes, you know, Carson's year better is that he doesn't have, you know, 6-7 drops in a game like he did last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I think they led the nation in.
They did.
I recall.
They did. Arian Smith was in the Senior Bowl parade. And I was dining at a dinner at a place downtown when they walked by me, and I flipped him a little football, and he dropped it. So that was he even had a drop in a parade.
I thought you were going to say drop the beans. I thought that's where you were going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Carson's played really well, and you got to give him credit. I mean, because he took a lot of flack last year. He got injured. He came back from the injury. I mean, you know, hey, why are you doing this? I think he's proved that, you know, there's a reason why he did it, and it's increased his draft value. It has.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, let's remember, go back to the spring, they didn't know when he'd be able to start throwing again. That was a pretty devastating injury, and they really didn't know who Miami was going to have on the outside. Most of their proven receivers under Cam Ward had left,
mm-hmm.
so they've restocked in quite a way, and you, like you said, that is that kid a freshman, Malachi? My word. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I recruited the heck out of him. He was like in ninth grade. Where's
he from?
He's from Miami.
Okay,
if I remember, he might be from Northwest. I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he may be from Central. I can't really remember mm-hmm. right off the top of my head. But he's from Miami because I had him coming up with the Miami guys. I mean, and so. You know, that was when I was at Auburn for that short period of time.
You're working on them.
Before we let you go, Drew, and we will talk about, you know, where we are in the Senior Bowl process and how folks can get tickets, but a couple big upsets this weekend, probably the most shocking in some time. This UCLA team, which was winless, and many were predicting them to not win a game this year. That's how bad they've looked. Getting Penn State after that loss to Oregon last week. And they just win in L.A., 42-37. That's one of the most shocking results I can remember.
I don't disagree with you. And sometimes that happens when guys take over and they flip the offense and they do new things that you hadn't prepared for. And then once you start making the adjustments, because you could see what Penn State did at halftime. They adjusted to what they were seeing. You know, they weren't quite as effective in the second half. So put it this way, UCLA kind of emptied their bag in the first half.
Mm.
And you know, got ahead, and now what they're putting on tape the next week, everybody will be prepared for, and they're going to have to come up with some new wrinkles. So I think they're kind of caught off guard, to be quite honest with you. And then they didn't make the adjustments fast enough. But, I mean, you know, you could see them kind of slowly catching up and slowly making that turn, you know, and they came back pretty well. I mean, it was, what, 28-7 at half or something like that?
Yes, it was.
So, you know, I mean, they did a good job with the adjustments, and they showed that they could score some points. I think they kind of realized it too late and didn't make the adjustments fast enough. So,
that's interesting.
I mean, you know, UCLA did some really nice things. Don't get me wrong. They really did. And, you know, they showed that they could put points on the board. And let's see if they can sustain it. And if they can, I mean, Kim Skipper may be the head coach there. You never know.
How about Jerry Neuheisel? I mean, he looks like he's 18 years old.
Yeah.
And 11 years after they trotted him off the field, I think as quarterback back then, on their shoulders, he was being paraded around on shoulders this weekend as the offensive coordinator. That was quite the game plan he had.
Well, yeah, he did. And that's what I'm saying. He might have emptied his bag a little bit, which is okay. I mean, because, you know, you take some chances when you don't have a job. I mean, and technically, they don't have a job.
Yeah.
Drew, I'll tell you a quick story. In 1980 or 81, there was a blonde-headed quarterback at UCLA because they played at Georgia, and I was at that game. It was a night game, and it was Rick Neuheisel way back in the day. A really tight ball game, but to Neuheisel, that was my first recollection of him. And I don't know if you know him or not. It seems like a really good guy.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And I was going to tell you, I said, heck, Rick's like 65 years old. He still looks like he's 50.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
that's where it gets it from.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, we're talking with Drew Fabian, executive director of the Senior Bowl. The other big upset, the Florida Gators beating Texas. Now, it was in the Swamp, and we've well established, it seems like the SEC is just going to smash each other to bits this year. But the Arch Manning hype, it died a few weeks ago, and now people are wondering if he will eventually just be a good quarterback. And I still think he will. But this Texas team, they lost a lot of upperclassmen last year, didn't they? So they're really depending on a lot of the youth.
Yeah, especially up front, as we talked about before. I mean, they lost a lot of the offensive linemen. They lost a lot of the defensive linemen. And again, and with the day of both revenue share and NIL, I mean, it's hard to keep guys around and develop them. I mean, and you're trying to get your chemistry with guys that, you know, may have not played very much in games. And that's the thing that I keep saying about Arch Manning. I mean, give him some time. I mean, because, I mean, really only a sixth game of playing. I mean, really, right? I mean, or maybe seven.
Yeah.
And, you know, the game's going to eventually slow down for him. It's just, it's hard when, you know, because again, practice tempo and game tempo are two totally different things. And when you're playing in the SEC and you're playing down the Swamp, which is the second loudest stadium I've ever been to in my entire life coaching and or scouting, it's hard to play down. It is.
Hey, so, I mean, one more question about the SEC. Missouri. They're on Alabama's schedule here coming up. I think Alabama's got to go to Missouri.
Yeah, I think they go to.
So they're still undefeated. How legit are they?
They're very legit. You know, and they have been for quite a while. Eli Drinkwitz has done a great job up there. You know, financially, they've committed to it. They've done a good job. They've done a great job in the portal. They've done a really good job of developing their younger kids and keeping them around. That's what I keep saying. If you can keep them around and develop them, that's the best thing you can do. Don't sleep on Missouri at all. If you think Vanderbilt was good, Missouri's just as good or better. You know.
Yeah, well, that's something that Alabama will want to keep in mind.
Yeah, and like you said, that game in Columbia, Missouri, this coming weekend. So a tough setup there for Bama.
Is that this weekend?
I think it is, yeah, coming up this weekend at Missouri. Drew, good stuff as always. Can't wait to talk about these upcoming games afterwards. But we have the Senior Bowl on the way. It'll be here before folks know it. And I know tickets on sale now at seniorbowl.com.
Absolutely. Get your tickets now. I mean, you know, the seat backs are going quick, and, you know, the premium seats are going quick. So don't waste time. I mean, get them now.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it. And we will talk again in 1 week.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. Drew Fabianich, he is the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. Yeah, tickets available, seniorbowl.com. Let's go back to the text lines and talking about quite a bit of emotional news from this weekend and a lot of text on it as well. Let's see. Squirrel Vereen says, we need some guys with skills to get fed up with all this liberal nonsense. Instead, it seems they either go crazy on the wrong people or self-destruct. Butterknife, referencing that killer in Kentucky who was let out early on good behavior after a murder years ago where he just unprompted, unprovoked, went into this little home in Versailles, Kentucky, and stabbed a six-year-old to death, stabbed the rest of the family
stabbed
members.
Stabbed everybody there, and the six-year-old died.
The six-year-old died, and they ruled him not guilty by reason of insanity for the murder, but did get him for the assault. Butterknife says, wouldn't he have been released if he was in Alabama? Also, we don't have hospitals. We don't fund things like that anymore for the mental health, so states are bringing it on themselves. Yeah, and maybe he would have, and maybe he would have been released if he was in Alabama under those same laws. I don't know. My main point is that's a ridiculous thing that just lacks complete common sense, that you think that someone like that, insane or not, mental health issues or not, is someone that can be rehabilitated to the point where they would be allowed back into polite society.
We're about to find out.
We're broken.
He's there. He's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even like we're not theorizing any of this. It's like we're going to find out Or is this guy going to do something like that again? Or even attempt it again? Or is he even thinking about it? And if he is, God help us all.
It needs to change.
Yeah.
It's insane. And you're right. As far as mental health care and making sure that's a priority, it needs to be done. I don't know how you go about fixing it, especially when you have, it seems, liberal judges everywhere that are doing their damnedest to keep stuff like that continuing. More on the way after the break here. Hey, thanks, Kane. 855 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Underdog Fantasy brings you this segment. Football season's in full swing. Underdog is the best place to get in on all of the action, and you can select entries and win money right here, right now. In Alabama, it's real easy to play Underdog. I was doing it all weekend, just as I do every football weekend. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns. Of course, you got playoff baseball going on too, and you can have some baseball players in your entries. Get those entries right. You could win up to 5,000 times your cash, and I have my first entry ready for tonight's game. I'll probably add a couple more. A little Monday Night Football with Jacksonville and Kansas City. I think Travis Hunter will score his first touchdown as a pro. Put that in my entry. And Travis Kelce, I heard that Taylor Swift had an album come out here recently.
Yes.
I'm just going to say he capitalizes on that momentum and also scores a touchdown tonight. So that's how easy it is. That's my entry, Travis Hunter and Travis Kelce, the Travises in my entries. And we'll see if it comes through for me tonight. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. You'll score $100 in bonus funds or entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-at-terms_DFS_.html for details. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
State Rep. Shane Stringer, candidate for State Auditor Derek Chen, and former U.S. Representative and a weekly guest, I believe, on the Jeff Poor Show, Parker Griffith, all on Jeff's show beginning at 9 o'clock this morning.
I had a really great weekend. Of course, you know, anytime you get to see a newborn baby, that's it's always fun, right? Especially when you get to leave them with the parents and go somewhere else. You don't stay with them through
the smell of little babies. They've got this smell to them. It's just awesome.
Well, my one-month-old little niece over there in Valdosta, and as my mom said, now I get to be the cool uncle. It's my turn. And
that's right.
I think I started off on a pretty cool note.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. Very nice.
Yeah, said, hey, you can do anything. I'm not gonna tell your parents. It's cool. You know, I'm the cool uncle. But yeah. The Hey Hira Honeybee Festival, we went over to Hey Hira. It was about a 10-minute drive from their home in Valdosta, and
I mean I'm at the website. I'm enthralled.
They had a parade, as you said. It capped off the week of festivities.
Week of festivities in Hey Hira.
In Hey Hira, and we're walking down the parade route. It's supposed to start at noon, and kids have these bags like it's some kind of Mardi Gras parade or something. They're going to be collecting the throws, but we see this. Elderly lady sitting in her little fold-out chair. She'd probably been there a couple hours. It's 11:56, okay? Yeah. The parade starts at noon. They're cutting it awfully close. They're really playing with fire here. I think it's about time they get the parade started.
They're cutting it close.
And I kid you not, the parade was like an hour and a half long. And the Shriners were there. Many people pointing out Ray Stevens talking about the Hey Hira delegation in the Shriners convention song.
Yes, yeah.
The Shriners were out and about on the parade route.
They were not fictional Shriners.
No, they were
Ray
real.
Ray Stevens, he's no liar, y'all.